Jesus' name we worship. Hallelujah. God has done wonderful things in this service, and He isn't through yet. I didn't know what Pastor Andrew was going to sing. Well, I knew that, you know, they bring the things, but they'd already chosen it before I came to church. And I just review it. But I didn't know they were going to add all the military part to it. And the words of those songs, of that particular song, is so important. How many people have heard of the Salvation Army? You know, our young people, you need to read history. You need to read history. When you get home, Google it. I'm sure you see it on Wikipedia. Just put it in Google, just for Salvation Army. You will get this song came from the Salvation Army. There was a man called General Booth in England. This was back in 100, 200 years ago. And there was a mighty revival. And they used to pray, groan, travail. All those things are lost now. And they would sing this song when they're going out on evangelism, when they're going out, you know, onto the streets. This is in England, you know, singing Onward Christian Soldiers, going as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. There's one of the verses we didn't sing, you know, I think it has to do, you know, put on your armor, each piece put on with prayer. It says the armor of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. You know, these are things that should be in our psyche, that should be deep inside our hearts. And I want to thank God. And so they didn't know. And the message I have today, I wasn't saying, look, let me give it next week. Lord said, no. It has to be done today. Because it has a prophetic significance. It must go into the air today. Pastor Andrew didn't know. You know, he just said, you know, they've got intelligence reports from headquarters that the forces of evil, you know, are mounting a campaign against the nation of Nigeria. That is prophetically on the dot. It is true. And therefore, the prophetic message I bring to us this afternoon is of great prophetic, strategic importance and significance for the body of Christ. So many Christians do not realize we're in a war. They see Christianity as a social club. A place you go on Sunday to sing, to dance, so you feel good. And then the pastor prays for you. And if you have any problems, they help you. Healing, deliverance, financial need, you know. And that's what they see it as. And that is not wrong. It's just that it's a very small subset of the real truth. The complete truth includes that, but that is a very small part of a much larger truth and picture. And it behoves us as pastors, you know, and teachers and apostles, prophetic and apostolic anointings, our job, like Paul said, he said, I am free of the blood of every man, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. It is criminal for a teacher or a pastor or a prophet or an apostle to declare half of the counsel of God. You need to declare the whole counsel of God so people will have the complete picture. Now, we realize that not everybody can walk in the complete picture at once. No problem. We're not asking you to be able to walk in everything at the same time. But you must have a complete picture so you know where you're going. And then you know where you are. And then you can start taking one step after the other. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. There's nothing wrong here. But it will be wrong for you to think that the journey is a 100-kilometer journey when it's a 10,000-kilometer journey. I would be telling you I'll be doing you a great injustice if I told you a 10,000-kilometer journey is a 100 meters. So when you've done 50 meters, you think you've done a lot. Whereas you know you've just started. And that's why I bring this prophetic message from the Lord. Keep playing that, Ayo. If you need to, you can record it, and the piano can keep playing it, so you two can listen to the message, and you can get it. And it's a prophetic message that God has given me. He's been building it up in me for some weeks, and it's. I'm sure I don't have it all, you know, because the revelation is progressive and continuous. But I have enough to shoot it into the air, so to speak, for the church to catch it, for those who have willing, open ears and willing hearts, and for it to begin to do its work. Many times when God will speak a word to a nation, and He will speak a word into a situation, once that word has been spoken and released, the angels of God and men who have willing hearts and open ears begin to put that word into practice, and then the purpose of God concerning that situation begins to be outworked. And so I have titled this message Esther and Mordecai in Nigeria. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your unction and your anointing. As I share this prophetic word, I pray that, Lord God, you will anoint me afresh. Help me speak as an oracle of God, Lord, and then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will hear me, those who will hear me here physically today, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, right now on YouTube, through television and other electronic media, Lord, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray, as I speak, Lord God, let the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. And help me, Lord, to deliver the word with precision. I pray for mercy to be faithful, to be precise, to say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all who's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, Amen. Esther, Mordecai, and Nigeria. You could put it like I said Esther and Mordecai in Nigeria, but you can, to make it short and concise, you can say Esther, Mordecai, and Nigeria. The scriptures are a complex prophetic mosaic of symbolic and literal truth that apply to all men and all nations. Because of our limited understanding of the scriptures, there are many things we read in scripture and we do not realize their prophetic application to us at specific points in time in human history. In the book of Daniel, Daniel had a dream. Or rather, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. It wasn't Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a... He didn't even remember the dream. So Daniel, to cut a long story short, interpreted the dream. And it was about an image of gold and different parts of the body and iron and clay and all of that. But the prophetic point I want to make here is that God gave Daniel a prophetic panorama by revelation. He gave it to Nebuchadnezzar, but it was actually for Daniel to interpret, of God's dealings with the nations from the time of the empire, the Babylonian Empire, through the Medo-Persia Empire, the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire, and finally to the present day. That tells us this, that God already has a plan for the nations. It's not something he thought about yesterday. And the prophetic destiny of Nigeria, this nation, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, as described in Scripture, in Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 20, as well as in Isaiah chapter 18, is embedded in that overall plan. And right now, Nigeria is at a particular point in time of her, of the unfolding and the evolution of her destiny, in which the prophetic story of Esther and Mordecai apply. Hence this message at this time. For those of us who are not very familiar with the book of Esther, I will just give you a very brief overview of the story. It's a very simple story, and it's a wonderful story. Basically, the Jews were in Babylonian, initially, captivity. Then the Persians, the Medo-Persians, took over from Babylon. They killed the Babylonians, you know, Belshazzar. Then the Persian kings became king. First of all, Darius. Then later on, Cyrus, you know, and so on and so forth. But the point is this. There's a particular point in time in Jewish history where the Jews were still, some of the Jews, it wasn't all of them, but I don't want to get off into all of that because I just want to keep it in the context of what God has given me that applies to Nigeria right now. Some of the Jews were still in captivity in Babylon. There was the Babylonian king, his title, I think, I'm not sure that's really his name, was Ahasuerus. And he was a powerful, powerful, powerful emperor. He ruled over 127 provinces. It went from, you know, from Persia, back in those days, you know, from Persia, you know, where Iran is now, you know, went right across to India, right down to where we are here in Ethiopia. You know, it went over. He was a very powerful emperor, you know, and king. And the Jews were in captivity there. There was a young Jewish girl. Her name was Hadassah, really. She was brought up by her uncle, Mordecai. And the king's wife, Vashti, was disobeyed the king. She was supposed to, he had a feast and he asked her to come and she didn't come. And so the king was angry and the wise men advised him and said, look, put Vashti aside. Some reports in history say that she was killed. We don't know whether she was really killed or she was just set aside. And then then the king now sent out a decree and asked virgins from all over the empire to come, you know, and the one that the king would like would now become king. To cut a long story short, God, in his sovereignty and providentially, allowed Esther, who was Jewish, to be chosen. And so that is how Esther got entrance into the palace and she became the new queen. During this time, you know, the queen really liked Esther. But Esther was told by Mordecai, don't let them know you're a Jew. Don't let them know you're a Jew. So she kept her identity secret, you know, for many years. I was doing some of my study this morning, you know, at least 5 years from the time she had been crowned king, queen, you know. And there was another person in government at that time. His name was Haman. This Haman was an Agagite. You know, he came from, in the time of Saul, there was a man, you know, the Agagite. Saul was supposed to have killed the man. He didn't kill him, you know, but that was part of Saul's disobedience. And one of his descendants, you know, was able to escape and he had children. And it was from that Haman descended. Haman was a very proud and arrogant fellow. And whenever he was the top prince. He was next to Ahasuerus. He was the top prince in the empire, and he was a very, very proud man. And so when he would go out of the court, all the nobles would bow. They were also afraid of him. Everybody would bow for him, but Mordecai would not bow to Haman, and Haman was so incensed. He was so angry that who is this Mordecai? So he now found out he was a Jew. And that the reason why he wasn't bowing was because the Jewish God, that's how they saw it, we know he's the true God, you know, didn't permit them to bow to any idol or to any other human being. So Mordecai, Haman was so angry. He said, I won't kill Mordecai alone, which he easily could have done, because he was so powerful. He was next to Ahasuerus, you know. He said, I'm going to kill all these people. I'm going to wipe out the entire race. Now, we know where that spirit comes from. It's an Antichrist spirit. It's the same spirit in Adolf Hitler. You see, folks, let me tell you something. The spiritual forces have not changed. Only the actors on earth change from age to age. And what we are facing now is another Haman situation. But the same thing that happened to Haman is going to happen to them. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Turn to your neighbor and say, chill this afternoon. You're hearing a prophetic word that will determine your destiny and the destiny of our nation. He was so angry. He said, I won't just kill him alone. I killed the whole. And then he did something. I'm going to bring all this to the Nigerian context in a minute. That was a little unusual. He went to cast lots. In the Yoruba language, we'll say Olowose. All these our modern children don't know what we're talking about. Let me tell you. Don't go and do it to our people in the olden days, and some of them still in the modern days. Whenever they have a serious problem, they will go to a witch doctor, like an Ifa priest. The Ifa priest will cast incantations. They have this thing, they will cast it. Then they will look at it. And by looking at it, they can see what's going to happen in the future. Then they will now counsel. There's all kinds of counseling. They will now tell the person, this is what you should do. And when they do it, the thing works. Now, of course, it's demonic. It's not God, it's the devil. You know, Satan has some, he doesn't have all power. But to say he has no power is also stupidity. That's not the whole counsel of God. Satan has power, but God has more power. So Satan can see the future to some degree. Not only that, he can also influence it to some degree, because he's the prince of the power of the air. Don't forget it. It's the truth. But I thank God for what Pastor Andrew shared. You know, yeah, we don't deny what's happening, but our God is bigger. And that's the whole essence of this story of Esther and how it applies to us in Nigeria today. Now, so Haman, instead of, he could have just planned a day to kill them. He went to go and get satanic counsel with satanic power to arrange. If they didn't choose any date at random, the principalities and powers, the wicked spirits in the heavenly places that were consulted through the lots, the pur, that's why we call it the piece of Purim, you know, through the lots, located that particular day. It was the 13th day of the 12th month. He was supposed to eliminate them before the next Passover, so there will be no more Passover, because Passover would have been the 14th day of the first month. There is a great prophetic truth in that. Let me just throw it out. I'm not going to go in deep into it now. Do you remember the scripture that the Bible says, I will cut off 3 shepherds in 1 month? It's not only that, that's Zechariah chapter 11, verse 8. Then there's another one, is in Hosea chapter 5, in verse 7. It says, in 1 month, it says, I will cut them off. It's going to happen. There's a prophetic context in which that is being slated in for the current difficult political, spiritual, political, and economic problem that Nigeria is facing now. This Nigerian problem is not a natural problem. If you are looking at it in, if you look at it in the natural, you will not get what's going on. And the problem we are facing cannot be solved by physical solution alone. Elections alone will not do it. I didn't say
they are not important. They have their place. But the political arena, just doing things in the natural, just doing things by natural reasoning and political ideology and what do they call those things, manifestos and all that, it's not going to be enough. You can have the best program in the world. If you have terrible programmers, it will not work. The problem, I don't want to get off point, but let me just say this. One of the problems of Nigeria, you know, we've tried the parliamentary system under Chief Awolowo and Nnamdi Azikiwe and Ahmadu Bello and all of that. The initial thing we had was the British parliamentary system, you know, and it did work to some degree and all that. Anyway, there was still corruption and all of that, and the army boys came in 1966 and they sacked that. When that coup happened and the military took over, we now had what they call the federal government, but it really wasn't a federal government, it was a unitary government, you know. And then in 1979, the Shagari thing came, we did the presidential system, then again in 1999. The system doesn't matter. What happens is the operators. No matter how good a system that is, if you have bad operators, it will fail. The problem is not with the system, the problem is with the operators. Now, so Haman goes to cast lots using demonic revelation and power to plan to kill the Jews. I'm going to get to Nigeria in a minute. He tells her, watch this, because it's going to be significant when I get to Nigeria in a minute. He goes to tell Ahasuerus about this plot. He does not tell Ahasuerus that he went to do lots. He tells Ahasuerus, he presents his case as a case of something that would be of profit to Ahasuerus' kingdom. Ahasuerus has so many people in his kingdom, up to India and Ethiopia. So he just goes to the king and says, there is a troublesome people amongst this our empire. They don't obey anybody's laws. They have their own, which was true, because the Jews kept their worship of Jehovah. You know, and they worship their own gods, and they didn't do the things that the heathen would do. They didn't eat certain kinds of foods. They didn't you know, fornicate and commit adultery like all the heathen. You know, they were different. You know, and he said their laws are diverse from everybody else. They don't listen to any. This is the way he put it. They don't listen. They don't obey the laws of the land. You know, they're very troublesome. He just told him like that. He said, I have made arrangements to deal with them. And in dealing with them, I'm going to get money, you know, from the spoil, and we'll put it inside the king's treasuries. We'll put it inside the, you know, account of the kingdom. And, you know, it'll be good for you. Ahasuerus trusts Haman. He didn't bother to go and do the investigation of who the people were. He said, if you say so, that's all right. Okay, come. He seals the decree. Now, I want to get to Nigeria in a minute, but I want to bring out some things that are very, very important and significant. Esther is in the palace, but ignorant of what has happened. It is Mordecai who is on the outside who knows what has happened. Esther doesn't know. She's living in luxury. She's enjoying all the perks of the palace, not knowing that her life was in danger. So Mordecai sends to her and says, you don't know that there's a decree that has come out to try and kill everybody. Anyway, because I want to cut everything short. He just said, look, this thing is a very serious matter, you know, and we have to deal with it. So he says, you need to go and see the king and ask for his favor so that this decree will be reversed or to save us in one way or the other. Esther says, the man is crazy. You know that as well as I do. He has not asked for me for the last 30 days. And if I go there and he's in a bad mood, You'll kill me. Mordecai makes a statement. It's one of the most important statements in the Bible. He said that if you refuse to talk now, God was going to help Nigeria. If you refuse to talk now, I think God will raise up help. It will come from another place, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. This was his niece. But he had to speak to her because she was too comfortable, like so many Christians. And she didn't want to take any risk. She didn't want to do anything that will endanger her position in the palace. And Mordecai said, you better get up and you better go. Otherwise, God will raise up something, but you will be destroyed. Don't think that you are safe because you are in the palace. Esther is a good girl. She listens. And says, all right, I will go. But let's fast and pray first. I'm coming to that too. The 3 days is prophetic. Amen. It's not necessarily 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Amen? Because what is the third day? It has a prophetic significance. I'm getting ahead of myself. It says the third day I'll be perfected. So the church has to go through a perfection process before she can go to the king and get the decree to change. So, Esther says, I will go, but let's fast and pray. I will fast and pray. My maidens will fast and pray. You fast and pray. All the Jews in Susan, let everybody fast and pray. It says, and if I perish, I perish. To cut a long story short, Esther goes before the king, finds favor with him, you know, and invites Haman to a banquet of wine. All those things have deep prophetic, but I'm not going to go into all of that now because I want to zero in on Nigeria. You know, and when they now got there, the second day, Esther now says, this Haman is the one. He wants to kill us and everything. The king is so angry, you know, and he tries to get Esther's favor and goes to kneel down. The king says, you want to even rape the queen in front of me? Of course, he wasn't trying to do that. You know, but, you know, Ahasuerus was so angry, you know, and they said he even made a gallows for Hezekiah to be hanged on. He said, go and hang him on it. Go back, fast forward to Esther chapter 8. You find that the combination of Esther and Mordecai were able to change the decree. Well, they didn't change the decree. They wrote another decree that superseded the decree that had been sent for the destruction of the Jews. And so the Jews were saved and preserved. And the Bible says, and Mordecai was great, and he kept on looking for the peace and the prosperity of his people. Now, someone said, that's just a story of the Jews. No, it is a prophetic account. And it applies to Nigeria now. And I'm going to tell you the players. Ahasuerus. Who is Ahasuerus? In these prophetic interpretations, you have to understand that you must never see things just as individuals. You can see Ahasuerus now will be a type of the government. With the presidency, the executive, and the people that have authority to set the laws into motion. So you're not looking at a Ahasuerus person, you're going to be looking at a Ahasuerus company. In the present Nigerian context. Secondly, the second person that we want to look at is Haman. Haman is also in government. He is very close to Ahasuerus. But Haman is diabolical, Ahasuerus is not. So, in the same system, you have a Ahasuerus company and you have a Haman company. In the same system, let's call it inside the palace. And in the same palace, you have an Esther's company. The Esther is the Jew or the Christian who was brought up spiritually under Mordecai. But Mordecai is not inside the palace with Esther. Esther is comfortable. Esther is enjoying the blessings. the perks of government, so it lulls her into a false sense of security. If you're sharp spiritual, you start picking things now. Then you have Mordecai. Mordecai, again, is a group of spiritual leaders that brought up Esther. So in Nigeria now, you have a Ahasuerus company, you have a Haman company, you have an Esther company, and you have a Mordecai company. What is going on in our nation now? Now let me go to the scripture. I'm going to, you know, God is helping me. I'm trying to make sure I just stay on track. Look at Esther chapter 3 to start with. I'm not going to look at specific verses and make my points as God helps me. Esther chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? Glory be to God. I've given you the overview. So now I can quickly run through the scriptures and clues. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of, even his father's name is difficult to pronounce, Hamedatha, the Agagite, and watch this, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. In Nigeria today, we have a Haman company that has been advanced and set, and they have much more influence in government than all the other princes. And some of them, no, the Haman company now, are demonic. They go and cast lots. They have gone to consult. Say, how can we get rid of all these Jews in our nation and turn the nation to a nation without Jews? They don't know a book has been written about them. At the same time, you have a Ahasuerus company that have power and are also an authority, but are not really aware of all the demonic things the other guys are doing, but have been influenced by them without them knowing. That's exactly what's happening in Nigeria now. I ain't done yet. Not by chinny chin chin. Look at verse 6. I've already told you all the things you've seen. And he thought scorn, this is Haman, to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, I didn't hear you folks, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. There is a plot in Nigeria to try and destroy the Jews. It will fail. But they have gone and they have consulted. And to those who are peeping, and to the wizards, and they have set a plan into motion, it will fail. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. It's amazing, honey, the accuracy of the Bible. It is describing the Nigerian situation perfectly. At this point in time, Nigeria is about to change. Ah! Haman and his company will fail. Somebody said, who are they? God will show you. You see, I tell you something about prophetic types and shadows. I've said this many times here in church, and I'm going to keep saying it. God does not predestinate individuals. He only predestinates two things, conditions and events. You want to know who a Haman is? Look at his condition. Look at his events. And you can locate him. You want to know who Ahasuerus is? Look at his condition. Look at his events. You can locate who is Ahasuerus, and you can locate who is a Haman. His attitude to the Jews. They haven't seen anything yet. They are about to see the prophetic and the apostolic ministry come into its fullness in Nigeria, and it will change this country permanently forever until Jesus comes. This message is just a precursor. They haven't seen anything yet. Now, verse 7. Oh, yes. Verse 7. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, another message for another day, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day. They took time. They took time. The Yoruba was supposed to say, Wolo Wushe. They took by day, by day. It wasn't something that was hurriedly done. It was planned with satanic princes and principalities and powers, because the whole purpose of this thing, you see, Haman was a human being. But Satan was just using him as a tool. Satan would just use you and discard you. Satan saw beyond what Haman saw. Haman saw the insult of Mordecai. Satan saw the birth of the Messiah. If I can get rid of the Jews, they will be. For it is the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. So kill the woman. Come, don't they? You know, that's why as Christians, we need to have, like, you know, my wife says this quite a lot of time when we're praying, the eye of the eagle. You see, you have to see afar off. You see, if you're just seeing Haman and Ahasuerus, you're not seeing the full picture. And if you're looking at Nigeria, and you're looking at this, and you're looking at Buhari, and you're looking at this, and you're looking at this person, you're not seeing the full picture. You have to see things from a divine perspective. Like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says, I've been to the mountaintop. See, God's taking some of us to the mountaintop. I've seen the whole picture. See what they're trying to do. They failed. Amen. The fact that I'm preaching here this afternoon means they have failed. That, because I've released it. How many people still want to go home for rice? From day, they did it diligently. So that the satanic princes and the satanic power to execute everything was set in the realm of the spirit. So they are doing now. They are trying to get rid of the Jews. They have sat down and they have consulted and are consulted with their marabous and everything, trying to set a course for Nigeria that God did not design. Nigeria was not created by Lord Lugard. It was not created by Obafemi Awolowo. It was not created by Nnamdi Azikiwe. It was not created by Ahmadu Bello or the Southerner of Sokoto. It was created by God. And only God's counsel will prevail. God's plan for Nigeria had been in the heart of God before there was a Nigeria. Before Mungo Park discovered the root of the Niger From Futa Jalon right down to the Delta, God already knew that that was going to be the nation that's going to be there. And then he got Lord Lugard to name it after the river. Nigeria, the area around the Niger. And then you, who are you, when were you born? They gave birth to you maybe 70 years ago or 60 years ago, and you want to destroy a plan that was there before you were born. You don't know who you're dealing with. If you are part of the Haman and you are hearing this message, quickly repent. Because there's room for repentance. But if you think you can design a plan in conjunction with satanic principalities and powers, and you have sat down and day by day you have set into motion, you are only preparing your own gallows. My heart for you is a good heart. The purpose of the message is so that you can change. You see, it is easy to move from Kassalem and Greda, friends, the Haman camp to the Hazarios camp. Just change your attitude. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I got to move. Jump to verse 15, chapter 3. And God's going to help me. Verse 15. Because of time, I'm not going to, you know. There's a particular word here. It's prophetic. You see, the Bible says, you know, about prophetic truth and message. It says that, you know, hear a little, there a little. That's why you need the anointing, which by the mercy and the grace of God I have, and I'm using now to rightly divide. It's like a surgeon. You have to cut. There's a place you cut. There's a place you don't cut. If you cut the wrong place, you kill the patient. You cut the right place, you save the life. So is the word of God. If you rightly divide it, it brings life. If you wrongly divide it, it brings death. For the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Now, this scripture. Verse 15. I'm more interested in having the scripture on the screen than my image. Amen. Keep the scripture on the screen. The people need the word, not the man. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment. And the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king, watch this. And the king, Ahasuerus company, and Haman company, sat down to drink. But the Shushan was perplexed. How many Nigerians are perplexed right now? We're just looking. Ha. 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 Nigeria, as I speak this afternoon, this is present prophetic truth. Present truth. Nigeria is perplexed. But good news. You have a Mordecai. And you have an Esther. Your perplexity will not last for long. It's going to turn into joy and happiness. But this is a prophetic truth. As at today, we are perplexed. As I'm speaking now, the coordination between the Ahasuerus company and the Haman company, with Ahasuerus not being demonic, he's not into all of that. But he's just doing what Haman is telling him because he thinks it's going to be for the benefit of the nation. Hold on, Ajoyewao. So, we know the rest of the story. I've told us earlier on. I'm just going to hit a few scriptures and close. Mordecai goes to Esther, tells Esther she needs to fast and pray. So Esther says, all right, let's fast and pray. So they pray. 3 days. Now, of course, there's 3 days. We all do 3-day fast and all of that. Sometimes you do 30 days. You can, you know, look at it in different contexts. But in the particular prophetic context, which I want to bring to you, something significant happened on the third day. The Bible says that on the third day, Esther chapter 5, Nikashalikatu Freninges,
on the third day, now it came to pass. Verse 1. On the third, everybody say, shout it, say third day. That Esther put on what? Her royal. Stop! Now, we are in a place of prayer and intercession. It has a focal point. And that focal point is that we must put on our royal apparel. I spoke about it in the Bible study this morning. What's clothing? It's your body. He's talking about the church receiving the life of God inside the mortal body that has removed the sin nature. See, on the third day, Esther put on. She didn't just enter the presence of Ahasuerus anyhow. She had put on. The Yorubas have a saying, Otidira. Back in the ancient days, when they go to battle, you don't just go. You put on an armor. Now, we don't put on demonic armor. We put on spiritual armor. So, Esther goes with her royal apparel. The body now has life and long suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance and patience dominating the body. That's the royal apparel. When she goes before the king, she's going to get what she wants. Everything we're doing now, the Good Morning Jesus prayers, the decrees, the intercessions, Tuesday, fasting, is all to a head to put on a royal apparel to go before Ahasuerus. See, hitherto, Ahasuerus, Esther is a plaything for him. She's only good for the other room. Another message for another day. But a day will come when Esther will be recognized, not just for the other room, but as a voice in government. But for her, that to happen, she must put on her royal apparel. So what we're doing now is the fasting, the praying, the walking in the Spirit, all of that is geared towards putting on the royal apparel. Once the royal apparel is on the third day, Esther can go before Ahasuerus and change the destiny of the Jews. This was going to happen. There's a lot that happens, but I just want to zero in on just one particular scripture, Esther chapter 8, verse 8. The spiritual power that Esther and Mordecai generate through fasting and prayer and her putting on of the royal apparel causes a complete change in the perspective of Ahasuerus. Hitherto, Ahasuerus has been blinded. Watch this. By the sorceries of Haman. It's in Revelation chapter 18. He says that the Babylon spirit, he says, by all your sorceries, you have deceived the nations. What's happened? You see, when you look at the Nigerian problem, and you just look at it on the surface, economics, this person, that, is the devilish. You have wicked people in heavenly places. Not just wicked spirits. Who for greed, covetousness, power, pride are doing things that's blinding people in government. But with Esther and Mordecai and their prayers and their intercession and their putting on the royal apparel, they will change all of that. Esther 8:8. Then, I didn't hear you. No, 8:8. This is 8:9. Yes. This is all I want, you know, because of time. Say, write ye also for the Jews as
it. The hour is coming and now is. Where the spiritual power that's coming out of the church in Nigeria will influence the esters in the palace. You see, the esters in the palace, many of them now are just relaxing. They're just enjoying the palace. But they will wake up. And then we give them such influence with our serious company that they will agree together on a decree that will bless the church. Amen. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's writ. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed in the king's ring, no man may reverse. Nigeria's day of deliverance is at hand. You see, when you see these things that are called, that everybody is perplexed, and as if, are they going to completely get rid of all of us? He that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Get rid of us. You must be joking. You must be joking. You have not read the Bible. I got to move. Am I helping anybody? So, put on our royal apparel, praise, and then changes the decree. So that Nigeria will now, the church, Esther and Mordecai are the combination, will now dominate the political, the spiritual, the political, and the economic atmosphere of the nation. So that which is written, that which has been recorded, you see, everything that is written inside the Bible is written, it's prophetic. All scripture is prophetic. It's written, it's historically true for what happened at a particular point in time in history, but it's also written as a prophetic shadow of what God intends for nations and for individuals and for people. That is why we need to read the Bible. That's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter, it says, you know, all the things that are written concerning you, you know, for your life, that are written in the holy book, that are written in the city, you know, in the holy city, that are written in the book of life. Every, not only individual, nations have their destiny written. That's why God gave Nebuchadnezzar that dream. So that the destiny of every nation at every point in time can be seen. Nigeria's destiny is good. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. But Esther and Mordecai must arise. And we have already arisen. Mordecai, we're not sleeping. We've woken up. We know what's going on. And we're praying. And we're informing Esther too that you two need to pray. And she and some of the Esther's too are cooperating and they're praying. And together we're going to change the whole thing. And what Haman intended for evil, God will turn it around for good and bring Haman's judgment on his own head. You will see. In closing, beautiful scripture is in Acts chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. This is what is going to happen in Nigeria. It won't happen only in Ibadan. It will happen in Lagos, Port Harcourt, Kano, Maiduguri, Sokoto. Hallelujah. All over. It says, many of them, which also use curious arts. These are the Haman company. They've been. God's power will now show. Not all of them, but some of them. They use curious arts, brought their books together, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20. Now, this is the verse. This is the destiny. This is the purpose of Esther and Mordecai. So might, I didn't hear you, grew the word of God, and what? It is going to prevail from Sokoto to the Delta, from the east to the west. And you know what happened? It's going to happen in Nigeria. It's in the book of Esther. It says, and many of the people of the land became Jews.
some of our enemies now will become Jews. Those who are of the Haman company who don't become Jews will die. You say amen to most of them are the word of God. Notice I didn't say anybody is going to die. I didn't mention any specific individual. I just mentioned the condition. I'm going to say it again. So, you know, for clarity. So there was all the many of the people who are in the Haman company now, the word of God will prevail over them. They will repent, they will bond their something, and they will join us and become part of, they'll become Jews. Those who still want to destroy the Jews and hold stubbornly something, they will die. Choose which group you want. Closing. I spoke about, and I mentioned in the Bible study, so I can quickly just close it. Esther putting on a royal apparel. It's talking about the perfection of the church, the life of God. It says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Thank you, Jesus. This is the purpose and the destiny of Esther and Mordecai for Nigeria at this point in time. Verse 26. That he might sanctify it. Who is it? The church. Esther. Mordecai. Company. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water, which is the life of God, by the word. Next verse. That he might present it to himself. She goes before the king. A glorious church. No spot. No blemish. No wrinkle. Or any such thing. That it should be holy and without blemish. As I speak. Because this is a present truth. It's as I'm talking, this panorama, this prophetic panorama is taking place before our very eyes. As I'm speaking now, Esther and Mordecai are praying and they are fasting. Daily, walking in the Spirit, and their apparel is being cleansed. Once the royal apparel is ready, they will go before our Assyrians and they will change everything. Don't be worried and perplexed about Haman and his plans and all the things you read in the newspaper. They are doing this and they are doing that. Their day is over. God already has a plan. It's inside His word. And it will come to pass. Hello, Esther. Hello, Mordecai. Let us pray. Talk to God. The answer to what is happening in this country is not getting political, it's not shouting, it's not fear mongering. Like my wife has been saying, you're getting afraid. Oh, you see this report in the paper, you are afraid. You see that one in the paper, you are afraid. Pray! That's the job of Hezekiah, Mordecai, and Esther now. Pray! And then as many as you can influence that are inside the palace like Esther, you influence them. Pray! And let them know that they will not be safe inside the palace if they keep their mouth shut at this time. God will raise help and deliverance for us. But those who do not cooperate, they and their father's house will be destroyed. Let them know. It's the word of God. It's not Olubi's word. That's what we need to do now. I'm going to bring another message next week. It's going to call Perfecting the Love of God. It's going to be a continuation of this. This is step by step. Don't be bothered. Let not your heart be moved because of evil tidings. It's true.
true what is happening, like Pastor Andrew said. We're not in denial that all kinds... We can actually see the handwriting on the wall. We can see the plans and the intentions of Haman and his company, but they will fail. Talk to God. I have made you too small
in my eyes, oh Lord.
Please.
Please forgive me, and I have believed in a lie.
And it's a lie. God can save us.
You were unable to help me.
But now, hallelujah.
Oh Lord.
Again.
I have made you too small,
and I think that's true
of
majority of the body of Christ.
Lord,
we're so afraid of what's happening. Prophetic action. Raise your hands like this and look to God. I said, I will look to the hills from whence cometh our help. I have a word. It's come from the Spirit of God. When Hezekiah was confronted with Sennacherib and his armies, and Sennacherib wrote a blasphemous letter. He said, has any of the gods of all the other countries delivered them from my hand? Who is this your God that will deliver you from my hand? This is a prophetic act you're doing now. Do that hand like this. Raise your hand.
Hezekiah took the letter into the house of the Lord. That's where we are now. And he said, it may be that the Lord thy God has heard the blasphemous words of Sennacherib. It is true, we don't have an army to fight them. They think they've locked up the army. It's true. But our God is spirit, he is not flesh. Our armies are angels, they are not men. Take that thing, shut them into God, everybody individually. Say, it may be, God, you have heard their threatenings. Oh, we're going to pray in a minute. Keep praying individually. And maybe, Lord, you hear, you can see all that is happening in Nigeria. They want to get rid of all the Jews. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In Jesus' name. The answer of the prophet, he said, I have heard thy prayer. He will not enter the city. He will not fire one shot. Because of my servant David, I will defend the city. God will defend Nigeria. Because of you and I, and our father David, and our father Abraham, no evil will befall us. No plague will come near our dwelling. The angels of God will kill the armies of Sennacherib. Raise your hand. Our God is not deaf, and he's not blind. He has heard their words. He has heard their blasphemy. He has heard their meetings. He has heard all the things that they are planning. But he that sits in the heaven will laugh. Everybody laugh. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. We cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. We receive your life, receive your mercy and your power as we pray now. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that our destiny, the things that are written concerning us, are inside your word. And today we have seen what you have written concerning Nigeria at this time. We thank you for comfort. For the word of prophecy is unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. We take comfort in the integrity of your word. We thank you because you are a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God who watches over his word to perform it. Therefore now, like Hezekiah before us, we say, look down from heaven and help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Deliver us from the hands of this evil Haman company in government that wants to rid Nigeria of all the Jews. Do unto them as you did unto Haman in times of old, in the name of Jesus. We receive mercy. We receive grace. We receive strength. Our hearts will not be moved by these evil tidings.
Because we know
our God is already on the move to save Nigeria in Jesus' name.
Now pray in the spirit.
Mercy, Lord. Shake it to In Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Brethren, it's well with Nigeria. Esther, you have only one job. Pray. Fast. Regularly, you know. Walk in the spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, put on your royal apparel. That's the key for Nigeria. Put on your royal apparel. When we come. Selah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Ha! You will live, you will not die. I say you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest on us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't go yet. Look at your neighbor. Say, put on your royal apparel. Let's remember to be there for prayers. 5 a.m. That's a very important part of this preparation of putting on your royal apparel. The key to Nigeria is your royal apparel. What a word.